This is Petey Pidge.
I am Mike.
J-Mac.
Brutal Dudes.
We are missing Mike tonight, but we have special guests in his place. Please introduce yourselves.
I am Patrick.
I'm Craig.
And we're Sundrifter.
Nice.
Awesome.
I got to listen to some of the tracks, and I got to say, I dig it. I very much dig it.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. A lot of the stuff that I was getting from Earsplit from you guys was very doom metal and grind metal. So it was nice to hear something a little bit different come out. And I was this is melodic and stuff. I dig this.
Yeah. Melody, right? I know.
Yeah, no, it's good. It on the docket, on the information that we got, it calls it desert metal. And I never heard of that, but I actually really like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that kind of comes from like when we first kind of started, we were like blues rock, and it was very like kind of like Western vibes too. Like we had some like Western vibes going, and it just kind of like, we're just, you know, that heavy psychedelic rock or heavy rock with kind of like weird out there parts, artistic rock, really post rock, sometimes they call it. But that kind of, when we, you know, we had visions of just like, you know, out in the desert, and it's, you know, but then like there's stars and space and planets and, you know, whatnot. So it all kind of connects. And then the name Sundrifter just kind of lends itself to like desert vibes and space vibes. So
Very much gave me like the vibe of like cooking like hot dogs on the carburetor of like a muscle car in the desert while you're just like rocking out like picnicking. I was like, that's a good vibe to have. It's the sound is very reminiscent, and I don't want to say it's too much. I don't want to like pigeonhole you guys, but it's very reminiscent of Soundgarden.
Yeah,
I got a lot of Soundgarden when I was listening.
That's my favorite. That's my home base. That's my church that I go to on Sunday. Yeah,
Jesus Christ Pose.
So yeah, that's what we get a lot. We get Soundgarden. We get Queens of the Stone Age a lot. But for me, I'm from my two favorite bands are Nirvana and Soundgarden. So I essentially live in 1994 most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Portland, really, Oregon is what you're saying.
Yes. Yep.
Seattle.
So, I mean, and like, honestly, guys, this stuff is coming back. Like you're hitting it right when like 90s stuff is making its way around. Like I'm a high school teacher, and I saw a kid wearing, like, I don't know if they were Gencos, but they look like Gencos, and I did a double take. I was like, what is going on right now?
Wow. Yeah.
Parachute
pants. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I got Queens of the Stone Age, though.
Queens is, I did Queens, but instantly, I mean, the first thing I was thinking of was like Super Unknown. I'm like, oh man, this sounds very much like Super Unknown.
And love, I was like, Super Unknown.
It's such a good album, and it's there's not enough. I feel like that type of music where it was like very experimentally artistic, like you said, it just doesn't exist as much anymore. It's so, everything is right. So derivative of other stuff. It's like there's no like just trying to do stuff that's like a little bit different, but may sound like one of the bands I greatly miss that with him as a singer was Scott Weiland with Stone Temple Pilots. Like there's no more of that. Like let's just get out there and try and just throw, I don't want to say it's shit, but like throw stuff at the wall and just see what sticks and then like put it together. And that seemed, it's if your songs sound very organic, how they're at when they come across, like it sounds like you're like, let's just let this flow. Like let this open. And that's why I thought the desert rock, the desert metal thing was like perfect, because it's like, there's just wide open space. And you just have all this stuff in the space, and you're like kind of gathering it together.
Yeah, if you think about, so I've seen, so you know, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
Oh, so basically, I've seen Stone Temple Pilots. I saw them about five different times. I went to all their shows when they were around. And if you think about them, like, they have that song that's like, what would you do? Da, 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 da. And then they'll have Plush or Interstate Highway. You know, like, I'm not afraid to write. If a song comes through and it's got a good character and it's working, I'm not afraid. I don't go home and say, well, this isn't tough enough, or it's not what, you know, you let the songs come through. And when you have talented musicians, that's kind of how our process works. Like, we want to make things that are interesting and that you haven't heard before, you know?
I think that's amazing. That's a way that should, that's like how you should approach it. I think it's awesome. And it's like, it's nice that like, obviously you like Nirvana, Stone Temple Pilots on purpose. And that's like very inspirational and very meaningful, but it's not like you're trying to like forcibly emulate them. Like it's a really, it's a really nice
mimic.
Well, I mean, but it's not forced.
It's more of an homage than it is a mimic.
Right.
Right.
You really have to be yourself, especially in live performance. You know, people can tell right away. They take the first 15 seconds to decide if they like you or not, you know? And especially now when people have their phones and you can just become this at the show, right? So you're really competing with this.
Right.
And so if you're yourself and you're excited and you're committing to originalist music, that's always going to come through. And it comes across in our writing too. Like you should see our songwriting nights. Like they are like three ninjas in a room, just karate chopping each other all night. I will come in something I'm super excited about and Pat will karate chop me in the head and say, nope, it's not going to work. I don't like it. And then we just move on to something else. And vice versa. It's like, cause we're different. We're three different people. We have different preferences. And so like when the song works and we're all on it, it's like the best thing in the whole world. And it writes itself in 5 seconds. But if you know, those songs that are just, you know, too much of one person or whatever, they can kind of fall apart. But we try to make stuff that's original, that's engaging, and that's us. That's our character. We're just joking in practice, actually, before we got on with you guys. I always wanted to have like a James Hetfield vocal surgery. Like if I could go into the hospital and they'd be like, all right, Craig, today we're going to give you James Hetfield. And then my voice would be James Hetfield and I could just do Metallica songs all day. It would just be the greatest thing ever. But even then, I just feel like even if I could sing Metallica perfectly all day long, I'd be kind of sad because now I don't have my own voice anymore, you know?
That's awesome. That's such like a
I feel the same way about way Scott Stapp. I do a mean Creed impression. And yes. when you do it too much, it's like, man, you know, every song kind of sounds like that. And that's how he sings like everything. And I'm like, I like the variety. That's again, back to Weiland. That's one of the things I loved about Weiland is like every album was a different like vocal thing for him. I remember when, I think it was the fourth album came number four. I think it's called they had the song and it was like, you heard, you know, the songs that are on the radio and the poppy songs. And it's like, they always kind of skirted that line between like really heavy and like pop, like popular. Right. And then there's like the third song is called, I think, Pruno. And it's just so different from anything they've ever done. But it's like you said, it's so honest that it's that good of a song. You're just like, man, they do whatever the fuck they want. Like it's very respectful because it's like fuck what these people think. Like it's cool that people like it, but if they don't, like this is for us. This is art. Like we're doing what we want.
Right, right. Even like, you know, me, I came from like I'm the one of this like power dynamic where like I'm like I want the heavy, like in your face, punch you in the mouth type of songs. But then we have like a song like Want You Home where it's like it kind of like we're gonna take you to this part of Sundrifter World, and it's like a new part. It's not like super heavy all the time. It kind of gives the listener a little bit of a break, but it's still a great Sundrifter song. It still has that identity, that character, you know, puts it into that family of sound, you know.
Yeah, awesome. it comes through. I highly enjoyed it. I was actually, it's funny, I was at work and I was not doing what I was supposed to be doing at work, and I was playing the songs for some of my friends at work because I was like, I have this interview we're doing tonight. And they're like, who? And I'm like, I'm like this band Sundrifter. And they're like, oh, what do they sound like? And I was like, why don't I just play it? It's got it on my phone right here. And I just put it there. Yeah. And then my manager comes over and he goes, can you like not play that so loud? Like when you're on the floor, cause I'm working at a grocery store. And I'm like, oh yeah, totally.
Yeah. No, we're both working a lot of grocery stores.
What song did you play them?
It's hell.
Retail hell.
Oh man. I honestly don't remember the name. It's the most recent one. It's the first one that like pops up on YouTube when you search YouTube.
Or Begin Again.
I think it was Limitless. Yeah, because I remember saying, "Oh, that's short."
Right.
Also, thank you for having a one-word name band.
Oh, thank you.
I'm so sick of phrases as band names. It's insane. Yeah. Just having one name is like, yeah, dude, I like that. That's right.
You know what I have to admit, right? So when me and Craig became Sundrifter, we had it as two words, Sundrifter. But then when we got Paul in the band, when we got Paul, our bass player in the band, he was like, "Hey, we should put those two words together and make it one." And that's what happened.
It's very social network. It's not the Facebook. It's just Facebook.
Right.
It's not Sundrifter. It's Sundrifter.
It's a noun. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
I mean, me and Peter are English majors too, so that like really works out. But it's like we respect that too, because it's like that's an identity instead of like, let me think of like the coolest phrase I can say that emotes my depression. It's like, you know, bless the fall six times to heaven is like the, you know, that's like every band you hear. And it's like, come on guys, like make it easy. Like, are you reading that on a shirt? No. Like no, Motorhead, right, yep. Metallica, Sundrifter,
right, Soundgarden,
Nirvana.
There you go.
Right. Against all odds and cars and trucks. You know what I mean? Like come on. That's too much.
Nice. So you guys are from New England, from the Northeast.
Yeah.
Was like Sundrifter sort of a way to kind of like not think about the terrible weather? Like, and the fact that there's only sun for maybe 2 or 3 months out of the year.
It was kind of funny. We had some shows during this summer and a lot of them seemed to be outside. Mm-hmm. And every day we had the show, there would be like chances of rain. But when we played, it was sunny. It was weird. We brought the sun.
That's awesome.
It's vibe, dude. That's total vibe. Are you guys Sox fans? Because you're near Boston.
I used to be. 2004 to 2007 was some great Red Sox, but this year, these past few years, been pretty rough.
Pedro Martinez.
Yeah.
Yes. That's there's a baseball connection for us because he came to the Phillies for a while.
Oh yeah,
right.
That's me. It's a beautiful thing. The Boston Philly connection.
Yeah.
I have a fun story about the Red Sox. If you guys want to hear. So when I was in college, my roommate named Maz, he is a Boston diehard fan. Yeah. He's diehard fan. And that was the year, it was 2004. That was the year they beat the Yankees in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we had a girl. We had a girl who I won't mention her name because it might embarrass her to have mentioned her name, but me and her were like talking and she wanted to watch the game with us. And I said, I don't know if that's a great idea because I was rooting for Boston because the Phillies were out of it. And he's a crazy Boston Red Sox fan. So I was like, are you sure you want to watch this? Cause she was a Yankees fan. She's from that part of New Jersey. So we're watching the game and she's talking shit to Maz because they were down 3-0 going into the game. So she's like, they're going to lose today. And Maz was getting pissed, but he couldn't really say anything because they were down. So then they won the first game. And then the next game she came in, she's like, I'm going to watch with you guys again. And we're like, okay, but it's going to get rough. So as the Red Sox start coming back, I said, the Yankees suck so bad. I hate the Yankees. And she's like, why do you hate the Yankees? They're like the greatest team ever. We just got into an argument. And I said, you know what? If you like the Yankees so much, put your ass on the line. And she goes, what? And I said, put your ass on the line. And she goes, what does that mean? I said, every time the Red Sox score a run for the rest of this series, I spank you for however many times they have runs. And she goes, what? And I said, you lean over and I smack you in the ass every time the Red Sox score a run. And every run that they have counts for every spank. So like it was ascending. So like if they score one, I do one. If they score two, I do 1-2. If they score another one, it's 1-2-3.
Oh, yeah.
They scored a bunch of runs. Yeah. I know you guys remember. They scored a bunch of runs. So this girl's back leg was bright red for a week because I held her to that bet, and it became legend in the dorm. That was because it was called the Yankee Spank, and she was behest to it anytime she watched a Yankees Red Sox game with us from then on. Impressive. But it was just very funny because it was like that era was like that was Boston heyday, and like Maz was like, you know, I hate that you like the Phillies and not the Red Sox, but I'm officially inducting you into the Red Sox Nation because of what you did with the Yankee Spank. He's like, that's legendary enough for like, you have like what did he call it? A green card to get in.
Yeah.
If I'm there and I'm, he's like, I won't mess with you. He's like, you got your Red Sox green card.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, it was just, those were fun times. So yeah.
I would agree.
They do suck. I'm not a Yankees fan. Pete's not Barry a baseball guy, but Pete kind of knows.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I totally get it.
Great players. The history of their players is great. If you separate them individually from being Yankees, they're okay. But like the fact that they wear that banner is just like, God damn, that makes me angry.
Yeah, Rodriguez is a terrible.
Oh, dude, him, what's the guy, Sanchez? He was such a terrible catcher. And they're like, dude, he's future of catching. I'm like, no, he's not.
Posada?
And now he's stretchy. He goes to every team. He's a wayward guy. they're the John Cena of baseball.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. John Cena's your guy's guy, right? I'm sorry. He's from Mass.
He is. He's from Groveland.
So
Massachusetts.
Are you guys wrestling guys or no?
I used to be.
What are you gonna do when the holster comes for you?
old school, yes. WWF.
Yes.
F.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that you just grew up to with, and then you know.
And that's the bottom line.
Up to what year?
What? I all honestly right. kind of forget.
Yeah, because I was gonna say, when did you get that?
I remember when
one because I'm. Go ahead.
I was a big fan of like the Triple H and during that era of D-Generation X and Shawn Michaels and
Stone Cold,
The Rock.
Stone Cold was my guy.
Yeah.
Cracked the beers open before. Yeah. It's the best.
The Rock and the Hardys.
Yeah, the Hardy Boys.
The Rock and the Hardys were the my guys. Boys. I love the Hardys.
Tables, ladders, chairs.
Dudley's. I mean, ECW is Philly, so like I used to stay up late. In the middle of the night, and when I wasn't supposed to be watching at 1 a.m. when they played it, and watch it on TV. Man, I remember those days. Such a small TV. I had like a 13-inch, and I would like wait till everyone in my house was asleep at like 1 o'clock. I would wake up, but not turn the lights on, and just turn the TV on and turn the volume down so low. I had to like put my ear up to the speaker just to hear it. But I would be watching Rob Van Dam jumping off tables and stuff, and I'm like, this is so awesome.
You know what I really liked was the
anytime
the
somebody heard a creak on the floor, they'd wake up. Yeah, the real songs or the where they actually sing their songs.
the entrances, and they have like a whole bunch of them, and I was like, you know, when you watch the show, it was only like, you know, 30 seconds, but then you got to hear like the rest of the song.
Yeah, but, I remember getting one of the soundtracks as a gift, and I thought that was like so mind blowing. Is that like? I was like, whoa, this is the whole song, because you only hear the first 30 seconds and you're just like, and then like, I remember Kane's intro music was like so iconic. And then like, it just like kept going to this melodic, like almost like chuggy kind of metal. I was like, whoa, what's going on here? That's
my first experience with doom metal. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I was like, what is this? What is Awakening?
I actually have Test's theme song, his first one, when he was a roadie. Do you remember this? When he was DX's roadie?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Road Dog, Jesse James.
And he came out, and then he became a wrestler, and he tried to marry Stephanie. I have his theme song as my phone tone right now, my ringtone, and it goes off, and people are like, what the hell is that? And I'm like, you know, it sickens me that you even asked me that question. I'm not even going to answer it. Figure it out.
It does,
but even just that, like,
but yeah, that's totally unrelated.
Like the concept of having like an intro theme song, pretty sweet, and the way it like when that song would hit, like the way it would like erupt the fans and provoke emotions, you know, it was like, whoa, you know what I mean? It, the music really made it.
Yeah. It's, and I'm from having gone to actual live wrestling. It's so, man, I remember I was there for a Hardy Boys match at a SmackDown that was in Philly. And I'm telling you, that music hits and you get hype as shit, especially too, if you don't know the match is coming or like somebody's just coming out to talk, you just get so hype. I relate it very much to like, if you're at a concert and your favorite song comes on, like I recently saw Metallica in the Meadowlands and it was they started Holier Than Thou. And I was like, oh, I was like, I love this song. I didn't even think they were going to play it. And I went off and it was great. Same with Pantera. Pantera did Domination, which I didn't think that they would play in a shorter set. And the whole crowd was like at the end, you know, the end where he's like, where they break out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So they do that. And like the whole crowd is just banging their heads in unison. And I think Phil Anselmo didn't realize that everyone was going to remember how good song was, because it's off there like it's Cowboys from Hell, and he's just looking around like, holy shit, dude, everybody's getting crazy. It was awesome. It was such a good time.
Yeah, Cowboys from Hell is a sick record.
Speaking on that,
I feel like it's as. Go ahead, Pete.
No, I wanted to ask like think about like intro songs and like bringing in a show. I was like, I wanted to ask like for a Sundrifter show. Like, is there some kind of like a stage show that you guys do? Is there like what? If we were to go to a Sundrifter show, what could we expect from you guys?
I think we've been recently trying to get like, you know, we've been doing like bringing our own lighting. Mm-hmm. So we kind of have like some cool trippy lights that kind of go on. And we had a show February 1st and we had a liquid light show going. So try to get the trippy visuals to accommodate with the open atmospheric deserty vibes. And it makes for a good time. And, But intro music would be very fun, like having a song before we got on stage. It's something we might pull off.
Yeah. That'd be sick. Would you write it or would you pick something that you just like?
I don't know. Sometimes I like when bands have a signature song that they kind of have right before they start playing. So it might be a different band. And maybe it'll change up. Who knows?
Who would... Just to throw it out there, if you had to pick like right now, who would it be? What would it be?
So could I tell you my real true dream? I've never, I don't think I've ever told anyone. So my real true dream in the whole world, and I'm going to tell it to you right now. I don't know if you remember when Michael Jordan was with the Chicago Bulls and they did that intro theme song. And now starting lineup, Chicago. Power forward, Michael Jordan. And they did that music, and it was like, boop, boop, ba, ba, boop, boop, ba, ba, boop, boop, boop. So my dream is before every show, we would do like a starting lineup, and like it would solo on Pat, and it'd be like, here goes Pat with 455 shows on drums. Patrick Winnett. And we'd have like the 90s Firestarter jumpsuits. I'd be like warming up and stuff like that. And now... your lead singer, Craig Carroll. And I would come like center stage and I'd be like warming up and stuff. Like that is what my real dream is.
And then it comes, then the song goes, y'all ready for this? And then you guys do like warm up exercises.
Yeah. Space Jam would be playing somewhere, like the whole thing. That I just, if we ever play anywhere in Chicago and it's like a stadium, again, these are very big Craig dreams. I 100% want to do the intro to the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
In like 1993.
I'm trying to Google the name of that song because I had a CD that had that song on it. And I was like, there, it has a name. It has a title.
Jock Jams.
Yep.
But it's like, it starts with like an S or it has something to do. I'm going to find it. I'm like losing my mind right now.
There's a link on YouTube that you can click because I've watched it 85,000 times. And they show like, and your coach, Phil Jackson. And like, it's just, it's so fucking good. And if I had all the money in the world, I would put like a clock up. So if you were at a show, you would see like a descending clock, like starting lineups in 5 minutes. And on the stage, you'd have like Patrick Queen and Fun Facts, like, 455 shows on drums. He uses these cymbals and this and that. And now you're drawn. I'd probably DJ it myself too, like in an announcer voice. I've planned this all out. It's
okay. Just, I found it.
Yep.
So the song is called Sirius, which is another word for sun, eh? And it's by the Alan Parsons Project.
Alan Parsons
Project. Yeah, and that's the one that's like the weird doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. It's that weird techno-y, and then it jumps into the riff. It's that one. It's called Sirius by Alan Parsons Project. I found it.
Whoa. And on the Jumbotron, there's like 80s Oregon Trail graphics of a bull running to the stadium.
Hell yeah.
You would have to have the bull running to the stadium. And then it gets in the stadium, and it's like us, and we're sun dripping.
And you intro your show with Bulls on Parade.
100%. Oh,
there it is. There it is. The sun dripping cover of Bulls on Parade.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Maybe we'll cover that one.
Or becoming, or even better than Bulls on Parade, which I love Bulls on Parade, Becoming the Bull by Atreyu.
Oh, Atreyu. It's
another good one.
I actually never got into Atreyu, but I understand and appreciate them.
That's their.
Just go home later. YouTube the
I'm not Chicago not a Bulls. Huge...
Hell yeah.
I actually just got done watching The Last Dance. It was amazing.
Unbelievable. They're in the back room like gambling on like quarter flips. Like it's so good.
It's so crazy to me.
On 5-string, maybe 6-string bass.
6-string bass.
You gotta do the thing in the beginning though. You gotta be like, whatever city you're in, you gotta be like, Medford, are you ready to rock?
Yeah. You know, I've always thought about having a height.
Sun drifters.
Yeah. You're seeing it. You're getting it. This is a good sign. Yes, yes. I explained this to people.
I feel like
definitely. Go ahead, Pete.
No, I was gonna say I think a hype man would be like, it'd be amazing as long as it like it fits the vibe, and then or you could like you know start with the hype man and then it can like fade him out, you know.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But like I was gonna ask, like, what kind of
Yeah, but I mean, you wouldn't. Oh, sorry, I don't know that you would even need to fade him out.
Just keep him there all the time on the stage. Just one, just a crazy guy for the whole show.
yeah,
dude, get a midget.
Now he's got to go work merch after.
Midgets are good for that. They're always looking for jobs.
I was gonna say, speaking of merch, like, what do you guys have a merch store now? What do you usually sell at shows? What do you guys got going on for merch?
Yeah, we definitely at the moment we use our Bandcamp, sundrifter.bandcamp.com.
Mm-hmm.
It has a merch link there, and we have right now we have two older t-shirts up, but we are going to restock like all of our merch with updated like new album shirts and koozies and all kinds of things like lighters and you know hats and sweatshirts or whatever. We're gonna restock that up when probably after our release,
which is
February 16th,
tomorrow.
Nice. Sweet. So yeah, folks, we're recording this on the 15th. Sundrifter's new album is out on the 16th. This will probably air. We're going to try to, I don't know if we'll be able to get it up this Friday, but definitely next Friday for sure. But yeah, I'm looking at the Bandcamp right now and I'm really digging the Salem Witch t-shirt. That is so cool.
That one is sick. It's pretty popular. Also, it's the same design, the same artist that designed our cover art, and I just hit him up. I was like, hey, can you want to take the Witch House? Because we've played Salem quite a few times up here in Massachusetts, and we love the North Shore up here, and then we figured we could tie in the Witch House with it and our stoner rock vibe of the weed plants all over the place. So thought it'd be cool.
It's so rad. I'm getting like old Atari game vibes. It's cool.
Yep. Very retro.
Oh, yeah. That art is beautiful, though. That art, that old Atari art.
Yeah, he's.
It's disrespected too much nowadays. Kids don't know anything. I need to just start waving it around.
And I was actually, I answered my own question because I was
better than the 80s.
I was checking out the Bandcamp. I was going to ask about vinyl. in memory of Mike. He's a big proponent of vinyl and he really loves it. And it, you guys have it out there and you offer it.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. We're big vinyl guys. All three of us.
Yep.
What you guys got shows coming up too, right?
Yeah. So, we got a pretty cool release show coming up March 23rd at Deep Cuts in Medford. We're playing with a band called Swamphead and another band called Cortez. We're going to be announcing that on our release date, February 16th. So when this airs, it'll already be up and you can go. There'll be ticket links for that and whatnot. And
we're going to Pennsylvania.
Also Pennsylvania and a couple other regional shows, maybe New York in early March, but that will all be announced by the time it'll be up. And we got some regional dates in around Massachusetts and New England in April and May, and hopefully doing a bit more touring and other opportunities throughout the year.
Whereabouts in Pennsylvania?
Are you coming anywhere near Philly?
So actually, super early announcement. Yeah, we do have a Philly date in the works, actually. But the one on March 9th is going to be in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Oh, where? Reverb?
The Hideaway Bar.
I don't know if I know where that is. I'll find it, though. I love Reading. Yeah. Reading is a great town.
Yeah, nice.
They have the Phillies AA minor leagues.
Yeah, we're playing that with our good buds, the Stone Eye. They're from Philly.
That sounds very familiar to me.
Hmm.
I don't know. I might know it, but Reading is not far, so maybe we could check that show out. That's in March, you said?
March 9th. Yes. Yeah, I just looked it up. Saturday.
Hmm. Yep.
Hmm.
Would love to check that
Hideaway
out.
Bar.
I'm actually writing that down right now.
Yeah, because it really isn't that far. It's like an hour and 15, maybe.
Great.
Yeah. We go later. Is this a confirmed?
I got to double check. Reading. I got to move some things around, but March 9th, Hideaway Bar, Reading, PA, it's on my list.
Yeah. And then in July, we will be in Philly.
All right. Cool. Awesome. I'll be if you come to a Phillies game, I'll be working security. So if you decide to do that in the off time, let me know.
Hopefully,
and I'll look
Red
for
Sox
you guys.
Philly. That'd be sick.
Yeah, that's is that they are playing them.
Oh, yeah.
I know in May we're going to Boston because we're supposed to be we were supposed to go to sit on the Monster. That was going to be the thing. We were going to buy tickets to sit on a Monster, but it's like my friend backed out. He was like, I don't know if I can do that. And I'm like, dude, don't get me hype about the Monster if we're not going to do the Monster. Like, you need to follow through, bro. I was like, know where your priorities are. Paying your rent or sitting on the Monster.
It's the Monster.
It's a clear choice.
The Monster.
You sit on the Monster.